Chapter 13, Exhortation to Maintain Conviction and Confidence. Namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your support. On that note, I got a shipment, a box from Amazon the other day, and I thought, I don't remember ordering anything. But if you're anything like me, you're getting stuff from Amazon almost daily. It's ridiculous how we're trained into being consumers. But so I opened the box, and there's school supplies. I'm thinking, I didn't order this stuff. Is the address? Yeah, that's my address. What the heck? No note inside. And that's just something about Amazon. You can put notes on the shipment in online. I don't know if those show up on the receipt or not. To give the person you're sending something to a clue. I checked my previous orders. Yeah, I didn't order this in my sleep or whatever. And then the box, was it just one box or another box? I think it was a separate box. Anyway, it had candles in it. And I thought, oh, this is a clue. Anyway, after some time of sleuthing, I figured out that more than one of my wonderful members of this sangha sent me some supplies. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Because I can always use candles. I didn't understand some of them, but, and then one of you sent an email and tipped me off. So thank you. However, the school gets donations, whether it's candles, incense, or donations through PayPal or Patreon, it all goes into the same pot and it's all very appreciated. And immediately, as I did yesterday, and I always take these things to the altar and chant appreciation to Gohonzon for the Tathagata being in our lives, providing for us the tools with which we can propagate this amazing life, yeah? All right. Exhortation to maintain conviction and confidence. At that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Medicine King, he's been awakened quite a lot in the last couple chapters, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Great Eloquence, with their retinue of 20,000 bodhisattvas, all in the presence of the Buddha, made this vow, saying, "Be pleased, world-honored one, to be without anxiety. After the extinction of the Buddha, we will keep, read, recite, and teach this sutra. In the deluded and malicious age to come, living beings will decrease in good qualities, while they will increase in utter arrogance and in covetousness of gain and honors, and will develop their deluded and malicious qualities and materialism. Thus," it's funny, I started out with how well-trained we are as consumers. Woo! Did I hit that on the nose? "Malicious qualities of and materialism. Thus, be far removed from emancipation. Though it may be difficult to teach and convert them, we, arousing our utmost patience, will read and recite this sutra, keep, teach, and copy it, pay every kind of homage to it, and spare not our body and life." We just talked about that in the last video, yeah? "Thereupon, the 500 arhats in the assembly, whose future had been predicted, addressed the Buddha, saying, 'World-honored one, we also vow to publish abroad this sutra in other lands.' Again, the 8,000 arhats, trained whose future had been predicted, rising up from their seats and folding their hands toward the Buddha, made this vow, saying, "World-honored one, we also will publish abroad this sutra in other lands. For what reason? Because in this Saha world, men abound in wickedness, cherish the utmost arrogance, and are of shallow virtue, defiled with hatreds, crooked with suspicions, and insincere in mind." Oh, yeah. Now, you might ask, why would this say publish abroad? Well, you have to understand, 3,000 years ago, published, I question as a word in use, because there was no publishing. There was no printing press yet. And to that degree, you know, writing used to be taught in school. Are your kids learning cursive writing? Are they? Maybe. I'm comparing cursive writing, of course, to calligraphy, which was mandatory school fare for certainly the Asian communities, right? All of Asia, I mean, you know, from India to what's the furthest out? Japan? Anyway, East and West Asia, huge continent, yeah. So to publish abroad simply meant that, as the exhortation from Shakyamuni himself, not only to read and recite, but to copy and profligate. So to copy would have to be done by hand. Nichiren talks about himself doing that and offering his own copied version of the Lotus Sutra to certain members, followers, students, not always other monks, teacher monks, but just important, we're all teachers, but just important students, yeah? I mean, what a gift. Yeah? I mean, I'm doing it in my own way, but through a publisher and a printer. I'm not doing it by hand. Sorry, just don't have that kind of time. Gosh, it just amazes me. Really think about it. So they're committing to do this, making sure that this teaching arrives hand-copied for others to propagate, yeah, and learn. Then the sister of the Buddha's mother, the Bhikshuni Mahaprajapati, with 6,000 bhikshunis training and trained, rose up from their seats with one mind folded in their hands and gazed up to the honored face without removing their eyes for a moment. They were just staring them down. Then the world-honored one addressed Gautami. And I have a note here. Mouth isn't working too good this morning. Mahaprajapati, Gautami, or Prajapati, was the foster mother, stepmother, and maternal aunt of the Buddha. In Buddhist history, she was the first woman to seek ordination for women, which she did from Gautama Shakyamuni Buddha directly, and she became the first bhikshuni. So, hey, you ladies out there, you might want to make a note of that, right? You owe a lot to this woman. "Why with sad countenance," Shakyamuni says to her, "do you gaze at the Tathagata?" Well, the Tathagata as embodied by Shakyamuni, yes. "Are you not thinking to say that I have not mentioned your name and predicted for you perfect enlightenment?" Gautami, I have already inclusively announced that the future of all Shravakas is predicted. I count you among all the Shravakas. And she wants to, just like all the others, I suppose, why shouldn't she get her prediction, being who she is, after all? He included her, but not by name. So, Now you, who desire to know your future destiny, shall, in the world to come, become a great teacher of the law, in the laws of the 68,000 Kodas of Buddhas, and these 6,000 Bhikshunis following you, the training and the trained, will all become teachers of the law. Thus, you will gradually become perfect in the Bodhisattva way and will become a Buddha entitled Loveliness Tathagata. Worthy of praise, all-wise, perfectly enlightened in conduct, well-departed, understander of the world, peerless leader, controller, teacher of universal realms of influence and men, Buddha, world-honored one. Gautami, this Buddha loveliness and the 6,000 bodhisattvas will in turn be predicted to attain perfect enlightenment. Thereupon the mother of Rahula, the Bhikshuni Yashodhara, reflected thus, the world-honored one is, in his predictions, has left my name alone unmentioned. My goodness, what is it? Is this still a vestige of ego? I suppose. But Yashodhara, you're included. I guess she didn't hear that. The world-honored one in his predictions has left my name alone unmentioned. Then the Buddha said to Yashodhara, I hear you. You, in the laws of the 100,000 myriads of Kodas of Buddhas in the world to come, by your doing of bodhisattva deeds, shall become a great teacher of the law, gradually become perfect in the Buddha way, and in the domain good, become a Buddha entitled the perfect myriad rays of light, Tathagata, worthy of praise, all-wise, perfectly enlightened in conduct, well-departed, understander of the world, peerless leader, controller, teacher of the universal realms of influence and men. Buddha, world-honored one, the lifetime of that Buddha will be innumerable asamkhaya kalpas. Then the Bhikshuni Mahaprajapati and the Bhikshuni Yashodhara, together with all their retinue, all rejoice greatly having obtained such unprecedented felicity. And immediately before the Buddha spoke thus in verse, world-honored leader, comforter of the universal realms of influence, and men, we hearing your prediction, have perfect peace in our hearts. After uttering this verse, the Bhikshunis spoke to the Buddha saying, world-honored one, we are all able to publish abroad this sutra in lands in other regions. Thereupon the world-honored one looked upon the 80 myriad of Kodas, of Nayutas, of Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, all of them. All these Bodhisattvas were of the stage Avivartika, or non-retrogression, who rolled the never-retreating law wheel and had attained to the dharanis, the expedient words and phrases. Immediately they rose from their seats, went before the Buddha with one mind, folded their hands, and reflected thus. Remember, Buddhism's about the mind. So they reflected that. So this is what's going on in their minds, right? If the world-honored one commands us to keep and expound this sutra, we will proclaim abroad this law as the Buddha has taught it. Again, they reflected thus. The Buddha now is silent. We are not commanded. What shall we do? Oh, my God. It's a good thing there's somebody there to put a fork in your mouth. Otherwise, you'd never frickin' eat. That's my frustration. He hasn't commanded us. Do you not have a mind of your own? Isn't that what this is all about? For crying out loud. Then these bodhisattvas, respectfully obeying the Buddha's will and themselves desiring to fulfill their original vow, before the Buddha raised a lion's roar and uttered a vow, saying, world-honored one, after the extinction of the Tathagata, we will navigate and travel through the worlds in all directions in order to lead all the living to copy this sutra, receive and keep, recite it, read it, expound its meaning, practice it as their law, and rightly keep it in mind, all by the Buddha's might. Be pleased, world-honored one, though in another quarter, to behold and guard us from afar. Well, I'm glad you picked up the chutzpah and spoke up. Of course. This is your turn. This is your opportunity to vow to do this. Instead of waiting to be told, how authoritarian are you? Right? Have a mind of your own. Speak up. And they did. Congratulations. Right? Then the bodhisattvas all together unanimously raised their voices, speaking thus in verse. Be pleased to be without anxiety. After the Buddha's extinction in the last dreadful, deluded, and malicious, and materialistic age, Mappo, we will proclaim abroad this sutra. Though in their arrogance, many will curse and abuse us and beat us with swords and staves, try to shut us up, we will endure it all. Well, the Saha world is the world of endurance. Endurance because momentum, material, all of that, yeah? Leading to the Four Noble Truths. Bhikshus in that deluded and malicious age will be heretical, suspicious, warped, claiming to have attained what they have not, and with minds full of arrogance and attachments. Others in the Aranya will wear patched garments in seclusion, pretending that they walk the true path and scorning other people. Now, if you don't know what Aranya is, I do have an annotation here. A secluded place of retirement for Buddhist practice to concentrate on their Buddhist practice. Monks lived in a quiet place, such as a forest, with few distractions and far from human habitation to eliminate as much distraction as possible. Now, those of you who've studied anything about old Japanese Bushido code or the samurai will recognize this as Satori in the Japanese culture, right? Going off to live out one's days with nature and attain some samadhi of enlightenment, yes? But this is that false nirvana we were talking about earlier. Greedily attached to gain, they will teach the law to laymen and be revered by the world as arhats of the six transcendent powers. But remember, arhats. Another statement of realizing that these teachings of the three lesser vehicles were incomplete and not equal to the lotus bodhisattva practice, right? These men, cherishing deluded and arrogant minds, ever thinking of earthly things, assuming the name of Aranyas, will love to calumniate us. There's another one, calumniate. That's, and I do have a note here. Calumniate means to utter maliciously false statements, charges, or imputations about someone or something. Fake news. And more. Saying such things of us as all these bhikshus for love of gain teach heretical doctrine while it's they themselves that are doing it. Isn't that comical? Most often, not always, but most often when people take pride in their pronouncements of denouncing others, vilifying others, are the very people who are guilty of those exact transgressions. We see this played out ad nauseum over time, yeah? Human beings. What are you going to do? They have themselves composed this heretical doctrine as a sutra to delude the people of the world for the sake of acquiring fame. They make a specialty of this sutra. Always in the assemblies, in order to ruin us, to kings and ministers, to Brahmins and citizens, and to the other groups of bhikshus, they will slanderously speak disparagingly and falsehoods of us, saying, these men are false views who proclaim heretical doctrines, but we, from reverence to the Buddha, will endure all of these malicious and erroneous accusations by these contemptuously addressed as all you Buddhas. Even such scorn and arrogance we will patiently endure. In the deluded and malicious age of the corrupt Kalpa, abounding in fear and dread, delusions and malicious ideas, will take possession of them to curse, abuse, and insult us. But we, revering and accepting in the Buddha, will wear the armor of perseverance. For the sake of teaching this sutra, we will endure all these hard things. We will not love body and life, but only care for the supreme way. And again, I have an annotation. We read this common refrain about the body and life. It is important to know that this is a comparative assertion of the value of physical material world against the priori principle of the engine of life and the experience of it, Buddhahood and its teachings in the Lotus Sutra. Going on, we will throughout all ages to come guard what the Buddha bequeaths. World-honored one, please know that in the corrupt age, vicious bhikshus, knowing not the laws so tactfully taught as opportunity served by the Buddha, will abuse and frown upon us. Repeatedly shall we be driven out and exiled afar from the monasteries. Well, you can look at recent history in the last few decades and see that occurring amongst the sects and lay groups, and no names here, but you know, you've seen it happen. Many of us have been kind of entangled in that mess. This is why today I think we see more independent Nichiren doctrine Lotus Sutra Buddhists than ever before. Of course, I make that statement not knowing that if, quite realistically, in Japan after World War II, there were probably throngs of independent Buddhists getting together for their own agendas and trying to figure out what was right and what was erroneous, yeah? So here we are again, for that matter. Such disparaging and malicious ideas will be our ills. For remembering the Buddha's command, but we will endure all these things with forbearance and perseverance. Nichiren talks about this, yeah? Wherever in villages and cities there be those who seek after the law, we will all go there and teach the law as bequeathed by the Buddha. We are the world-honored ones' envoys. And amidst a multitude having nothing to fear, will rightly teach the law. Be pleased, O Buddha, to abide in peace. In the presence of the world-honored one and the Buddhas come from all directions, we thus make our vow, and the Buddha knows our hearts. Well, quite impressive. So, by the point of the 13th chapter? Many in the assembly are not only getting that this is new and different and essential, but they're taking the responsibility for teaching it, even though I suspect they don't fully get it yet. But they are honoring their commitment to the practice, reading, reciting, copying, because they know that this is the path, the way to perfect enlightenment. So we've gotten that far. Chapter 14, Comportment and Peaceful Practices, will be about how to move forward in our practice from understanding this immediate enlightenment methodology. Yeah. So chapter 14 is next. In the meantime, take care of your health. Sneeze. Oh my, a reminder that I'm alive. The links in the description, as always, you know what to do. Any way you can support this sangha is greatly appreciated, and I'm very honored and grateful for your support at any level. Patrons, of course, you are embodiments of universal worthy bodhisattva, yes? So, again, as I say, take care of your health, keep your practice strong, treat everyone you meet as potential Buddha, right? Because we all have it innate in our very being. Even if that means you sit in, I have a lovely little pond. It's not really a lake, a small lake, behind our property. And sometimes I just sit there and watch the osprey, hawks fly around, the herons and egrets that visit the lake, Canadian geese of all things. I get to correspond with my Canadian buddies in the water, just watching nature. Same thing. It's all tathagatanas, yeah? I'm so appreciative of it. The sun's coming out today, but the weather's a little chilly. I'm going to try to get out and breathe some of this fresh air. Enjoy your life as you do your practice. So, again, with that, take care of your health, take care of your friends, and I will see you in the next one. All right? Good. Bye for now.